Hi, I'm Alex.
And I'm Tom. And this time on Flash in the Pan, it's my fucking birthday, so let's just watch all the perfect Kirby.
We grew up in a world of online animation. And we're digging you out for your consideration. Bringing you the tunes that made us who we am. Flash in the Pan. Flash in the Pan.
Hi, I'm Tom.
I'm Alex.
And welcome to another fascinating, wonderful edition of Flash in the Pan.
Welcome back.
This is the podcast where we go scuba diving in the glimmering tide pool of memory and fish out some rare and beautiful pieces of coral that we call Flash animations. As you probably heard in the intro, it's my birthday next week.
So
in celebration of that, I have hijacked the show's, I've hijacked the show, and I am forcing Alex to endure one of my very, very favorite Flash series from when I was growing up, when I was a wean, as they say in Scotland?
If you're Scottish and that's correct, then.
Then let us know. Yeah. Oh, wow. Wouldn't it be exciting if we had listeners as far afield as Scotland?
Wow.
Yeah, so, let's start off with, all the way back in 2002.
Wow.
Perfect Kirby number one.
Yeah, I'm the greatest! Yeah!
And we're back.
We are back.
So, Alex. I want your first impressions.
Right.
And then I want how you felt at the end of the first episode.
Okay. Well, I mean, it kind of reminds me a little bit, and it's unintentional, but it reminds me, because it's so quiet, a lot of it reminds me of, like, Family Guy.
Oh, gosh.
Because Family Guy is these kind of jokes, a lot of which kind of fall flat, and then, like, complete silence.
Yes.
That's my memory of Family Guy, and I'm fairly certain it hasn't changed.
Yeah.
Probably. That's, like, an unintentional. That's just what it immediately reminded me of.
Okay.
It's got that kind of charming, like, you know, somebody who's, like, not really tried animation before, has a basic understanding, trying to put something together.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, it's got that kind of feel to it, like the early Newgrounds feel.
Basically,
it's got
the
early Newgrounds, it's got everything early Newgrounds has had.
So that's what you thought when we first started watching.
When we first started, I was like, yeah, this is like kind of janky and
But by the end of episode one, so basically the end of the last third, because it's uploaded in chunks.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, by the end of that, how do you feel?
All three parts, or just the first? It's DevXL's, like, first project.
Yeah.
You can tell, you can really tell, because there's a lot of... There's just a lot, like I said, there's a lot of silence, and a lot of, like, just dead air. But, like, then there's also, like, several attempts at humor.
Yes.
Some of which really do land.
Yeah, you got.
I giggled, especially, like, for whatever reason, Spanish Godzilla got me. It's just normal Godzilla, but he says bueno. Like, that's funny to me.
Spanish Godzilla is one of the things that I remembered the most vividly about this, and I forgot that it's only in one tiny joke.
It's good, though. I also appreciated the guy, like, doing therapy, and the therapist, like, instead of actually taking notes, is, like, drawing a sketch.
Yeah, it's like Professor $1.99.
Yeah.
Should we talk about the plot?
We can talk about... Or the absence of.
We have a plot. Kirby foils a bank robbery, and then, like, stands on the rooftop overlooking the crime scene as if he's fucking Batman.
Yes, at the bank branch of bank. The bank of bank.
I mean, I do all my banking at bank.
Yeah, I mean, who doesn't?
And then he gets press ganged. He gets press ganged into joining a secret spy organization that is staffed mostly by blonde clones and Nintendo characters from the Smash Brothers series.
Yeah. So for some, well, because it has to have a Nintendo tie-in, because it's Perfect Kirby.
It is Perfect Kirby, So, yeah, Perfect Kirby being a crossover between Kirby, the beloved, wonderful pink character that I don't think anybody dislikes, and if they do, then why?
I can't think...
How could you?
I can't think of it ever seeing anyone say that they dislike Kirby or claiming that, like, Kirby games aren't very good.
Yeah.
Because I literally can't think of a single Kirby game that's bad.
I've
played a lot of them.
A lot of people did not like Air Ride.
That's right. Those people are wrong.
Fair enough.
I think the only Kirby game which I like the least is Kirby's Dream Course.
What, you don't like golf games?
No, not really.
Okay, fair
That's
enough.
The only reason, though, just because golf doesn't
You and I are not on the same wavelength. The Dream Course is very good. Anyway, so
maybe
yeah.
I should just play more of it. I could.
So Kirby and Perfect Dark. And Perfect Dark is, again, a very early 2000s franchise to be super into.
To draw inspiration from.
Yeah, so it was a very late N64 first-person shooter by Rare, who'd made GoldenEye 64, and it is this really damn good sci-fi spy first-person shooter. Like, I remember the music is really, really good.
Uh-huh.
It's stylish. Yeah. It's cool. And the only thing that this first episode borrows from Perfect Dark is the guns.
The guns
and
are
one
yeah.
piece of music.
Are immediately recognizable as the guns from Perfect Dark.
Yeah. Oh, Joanna Dark uses those guns.
It's like, oh, those are the Perfect Dark guns.
Yeah. Guns that Kirby is very fond of, which seems to be one of his three character traits.
Yes, the joke is Kirby is violent.
The joke is that Kirby is violent and a real dick.
Yeah.
And also very lazy.
Yeah.
Which just perfectly captures how obviously this was written by a pair of teenage boys.
Yeah, like, I mean, because it does, like, the most, like, obvious thing when you're trying to, like, think of a way to, like, make something funny. It's like, well, what if we had character in situation where character wouldn't usually be in situation, and let's just really push that as hard as possible.
Yeah, and it kind of works a bit.
It works a little.
It does mean that the last third of it is basically just a litany of increasingly violent and stupid murders that Kirby does.
Yeah.
Like he goes from being worried that he killed someone to just mass murdering people.
He snaps someone's neck and he's like, oh no, and then...
Yeah, it's like everyone, like innocent bystanders, a guy in novelty trousers who didn't show up at the right wedding venue.
A guy delivering a pizza.
A guy delivering a pizza.
I liked that the guy delivering the pizza in the early 2000s didn't have his pants pulled up.
Yes!
Like,
yeah, I didn't know, because I grew up very sheltered as a teen. I didn't know that the quote unquote saggy pants thing dated as far back as 2002.
It did.
So the rest of the plot is that Kirby has to stop a smuggling ring, or just a smuggler, who is smuggling Xboxes into England.
It wasn't England. It was a map of the entire United Kingdom, which, by the way, is made up of four countries, which England is one of.
England was on the map.
Yes, but also Scotland, Ireland, and Wales.
I know. I did like Kirby assuming that England was just a fairy tale place.
That's good.
I mean, like, it definitely captures, I think, the average American's idea of what England or Britain is.
Yes, because once I had a conversation with a stranger online who was American and said, don't y'all have horse-drawn carriages or some shit?
Don't y'all have horse-drawn
and
carriages?
Stuck with me for years and years. I was like, what? No. We have fucking cars. What planet do you live on?
I was just imagining that person, like, visiting, like, they touched down at the airport, and they're like, what? Is that a coffee machine? Are those paved roads?
Yeah, like...
Is that someone in the street not dying of cholera?
Yeah, it does absolutely perfectly encapsulate the way that Americans think of... Or at least thought of England back then.
Imagine having your only idea of what a country is based on a Muppet Christmas Carol.
I think that's where a lot of Americans got their initial impression of this country from.
So yeah, Kirby discovers through no effort of his own that his neighbor, who is just a traced and recolored Kramer from Seinfeld. And I think the voice is a Kramer approximation, or at least their best attempt at one. Yeah. But I haven't seen any Seinfeld, so I don't know for sure.
I did like that in the character's introduction, which was just to burst through a door and just say something completely unintelligible. And then Kirby's like, okay. Yes. And then he's like, oh, sure. And he closed the door. And we're both like, what did you just fucking say? Yes. Like, the microphone quality is so bad.
He just opens the door like, hey, come on.
What?
Yeah.
Could you repeat? Okay.
Yeah, no, the microphone quality across the board is, it's
middling to, oh my god, unlistenable.
Yeah, at its worst, it does kind of sound like they're shouting from inside a garage they've been locked in.
Yes. Uh-huh.
But they do so with such enthusiasm. Almost every line is shouted.
There is genuine enthusiasm.
Obviously, do not watch this while wearing headphones because it will hurt.
You will hurt your ears. Because
the sound mix is very bad.
Yes.
There are an awful lot of stock gun noises that are just repeated for way longer than they need to be.
Yeah.
Yeah. So how do you find the action? Let's call it action.
It's very, like, again, it's very Newgrounds. It's just stupid and silly and just
unreasonably violent.
Unreasonably violent, like, it's already being pushed out of a window.
Oh, yeah.
With a fucking billiard ball.
Yeah.
That's been, like, thrown from, like, a few feet away.
Yeah,
like,
I think that there's something like that in the 2006 James McAvoy film Wanted.
Oh.
I think. Well, no, Wanted is the one where a guy gets hit in the face with a keyboard and the flying keys
spell fuck you and the U is the guy's tooth.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, no, like, the violence is ridiculous and there's a pleasing blend of just, like, the red pen tool done for blood, but also occasionally, like, rendered red blobs of gore that, like, warp and drip down walls and so on. And you can kind of see a lot of experimentation going on for all its lack of quality.
Mm.
And this is not a well-made cartoon. But at the time, and especially for 2002... this is incredibly big and ambitious.
Yeah.
Like, this isn't just a 5-minute joke cartoon. This is a full half hour spread out across 3 different files because that's the only way they could fit it. Even within the cartoon, you've got a few things, like, they really like 3D renders of things. They've got a lot of 3D rendered.
Towards the end.
Yeah. Increasingly, they're like 3D rendered logos.
Mm-hmm.
And, some of the approximation of 3D camera work in Flash. Which is difficult to do.
Yeah.
And it's interesting.
Like, tried to do it and kind of pulled it off.
Yeah, kind of. It's all very rudimentary.
Hmm.
But it's got a personality to it.
Yeah, which is probably why it was so popular.
Yeah. And it was colossal. Before we get to the comments, which I loved, but Kirby's not the only Nintendo character in this.
No.
How do you feel about the inclusion of, Pikachu is just there.
Pikachu's just there.
We have Link in a pretty okay, cutaway joke where the guy flies through the window and Link runs a Hyrule cutlery place.
And then he fucking slices him up with a sword.
Yeah, and then he just, like, brutally, like, hacks him apart.
Which is not
really
Link's modus operandi.
I mean, Link talks in this.
Which is also not any part of anything we've ever done.
And speaking of talking, the other two major characters that show up, I mean, Fox McCloud is in it for like 30 seconds.
Who also just kind of stands still, but he has a line.
Yes, he does have a line. We have Mario and Luigi, and especially Mario. How did you feel about as someone who has played basically every Mario to death, how did you feel about the characterization of everyone's favorite Italian plumber?
I thought it was good.
Yeah?
I enjoyed it because I like the idea of Mario, like, continuing to be, like, this huge stereotype and Luigi just kind of not. I enjoyed that. I enjoyed that a lot.
Yeah, Luigi is just fed up.
It's the typical kind of interpretation of that relationship that they have, but like it's I always enjoy it, like Luigi being like the tired, fed up one who's just sick of Mario's shit. Yeah.
Mario, we've been having nothing but pasta every night for 4 years.
Yeah, no, like that. Yeah. That's accurate characterization.
Makes you wonder, what were they doing before that 4 year period? Did Mario used to have dreams of culinary exploration, and then he just decided, nah, pasta.
I just don't know. Maybe they had Yoshi over every now and again. He made some cookies.
Oh yeah, Yoshi shows up. So like,
yeah, Yoshi shows up.
And this is something that I believed you kind of thought would be like a buried lead, right?
Well, yeah, because like right near the beginning, you see a picture of Kirby and Yoshi together.
Yeah, a framed picture.
Yeah,
as well.
A framed
yeah.
picture hung on the wall, lovingly.
Yeah.
And then he shows up at the headquarters, and Yoshi's there, and I'm like, wow, he's gonna be surprised when he sees his close personal friend Yoshi's also working at this place, and then they just don't fucking talk to him.
No, no, instead Kirby goes and basically just like racially abuses Donkey Kong.
Donkey Kong.
Yeah.
Which is not cool.
It's not cool. And like, unrepentantly as well. His supervisor, Neil, we haven't even talked about Neil.
No.
Neil is, Neil is basically, he looks like Eminem, he said.
As soon as he showed up, he was like, "Hi Kirby,
I'm Neil. I'm gonna be your supervisor."
Yeah,
at
and
this
I was like,
spy place.
"I was like, it's Eminem. It's fucking Eminem. It looks like Eminem.
He's Eminem, but he just talks like a regular teenager from the Midwest.
So no different.
Yeah." and the animation of the people, especially Neil, but all the people, the animation is, so like, apart from Kirby, basically nobody gets a walk cycle of more than 2 or 3 frames.
There was one really good walk cycle, and it was that guy who, like, laughed and ran away. I can't remember.
That's Bill.
It was Bill, because that was really good. When he was running away, that was...
Well, just like hopping from foot
to
foot.
Yeah, that was special.
Yeah.
That was good.
But I think some of the biggest laughs from you came from just watching characters move around. it cuts to a new shot and there's a new character who is drawn not very well.
Poorly. For lack of a better word.
And just like the sudden visceral shock to your animal brain.
Yeah,
you know?
It's like, holy god.
It's like the reptile part of you knows that this isn't a creature that should exist.
Yes.
And we have Professor $1.99.
Yeah.
He's called that because he's cheap, and we're described, his cheapness is described in an incredibly long go-nowhere joke.
Do you think he looks like Dilbert on purpose, or is that an accident?
Ooh, I think he looks more like Beaker.
Maybe it's like a weird amalgamation.
Of what, of Dilbert and Beaker?
He's a scientist. And...
me, 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 me. I hate working in an office. Me, 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 me. Women, am I right?
I mean, we don't know what Beaker's saying.
No, but this is...
This
is the combination of Beaker and Dilbert. That was the thing I was doing.
I get you.
Okay. Should we talk about some comments?
Let's talk about comments.
Okay, so I've got quite a few, but I'm
unsurprising.
But I've narrowed it down so that we don't get completely bogged down.
Okay.
Yeah. So this was uploaded July 12th, 2002. What were you doing on July 12th, 2002?
2002, I would have been between 12 and 13.
Yeah.
I was either playing Halo watching low quality bootlegged Full Metal Alchemist.
Oh wow!
On a site that probably does not exist anymore.
Fair enough.
And probably on some really obscure forum that probably similarly does not exist anymore.
Sounds about right, yeah.
Yeah.
I would have been settling in at my new school for the second year and watching an awful lot of Dragon Ball GT.
So there are parallels.
There are a few parallels,
yeah. Anime.
We were both anime trash before we even knew we were.
Yeah.
Yeah, fair enough. So, July 12, 2002, one of the first reviews here, from The Blizzard of Oz, with 2 Z's, that's how you know they're an Ozzy Osbourne fan.
Yes.
Said, good at the beginning, great at the beginning with the robbery and when Kirby got into his house, but the sound was just in terrible need of streaming. And if you can come up with better, funnier, material... For after Kirby watches the show, this would be the best.
Wow, just straight in there with the, wow, it's just not funny. It would be better if it was written. But say what you essentially said.
But they gave it 5 stars.
What?
Yeah. Newgrounds rating system strikes again.
This could be really good if it was funny. 5 out of 5.
No. Do you want to take the next one? Combat Chuck.
Ooh. No stars out of 5.
At all.
That sucked pretty badly. It would be good if it didn't suck. Quit making them. Now I command it. Okay. So because of that comment, I instantly got more respect for both of the guys that worked on this, because people were like, it's shit, stop posting it. And they were like, no, fuck you, we're going to keep making it.
Yeah, a lot of the initial reactions, especially to the first part, were really not good. Even though it's a very long, ambitious cartoon, like, a lot of people just did not get into it. I imagine a lot of it is because the timing of the jokes isn't great.
No.
The voice acting is enthusiastic but low quality.
Yeah.
And I think just the animation wasn't there yet.
Yeah.
And these are themes that you see repeated a lot in a lot of the bad comments, which is why I've only included one as kind of like an example. Yeah?
Okay, sure.
We've got a couple more. One of which is a slightly more in-depth review from Broken-Saint,
mm-hmm.
who gave it 3 out of 5, and they said, the effort is there, but most of the jokes aren't. The idea, Kirby becoming a crime-fighting hero, is creative, but there wasn't enough to hold the viewer's attention. The Seinfeld parody was good? Shrug.
Was it?
But other than that, there's nothing really memorable about this cartoon. It seems to run a bit long, because of the bland voices and mediocre animations, but I reward originality and effort, so you get a 6 out of 10.
3 out of 5.
Yeah?
Sure.
Yeah. And similarly, Erico from 2016.
Wow, that's really
went back to review the very first installment, and they gave it 3.5 out of 5. And they said, I was quite surprised at how the animation doesn't hold up. Your other stuff is so much better. Still, we all have to start somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
I really did like the beginning of this story. It's been so long since I've seen it. I'm just so used to watching later episodes of the series. That's when it gets a lot better. I still like parts of it. You know how to introduce your characters. I do think it was a bit too long. I missed Sexy Joanna.
Is that something that shows up?
Sexy Joanna?
Like Joanna Dark?
Do you think Joanna Dark might show up in a future episode?
Well, I mean,
would you like to find out?
I'm surprised if she didn't.
Would you like to find out right now? Would you like to go into Perfect Kirby Part 2?
All right.
Okay. Here we go.
Kirby, did you get the...
Ask him if he wants a pasta.
Mario, I'm on the phone!
And we're back.
Yeah.
So, Perfect Kirby 2 is where I remembered it getting good. And
right.
I think I was right.
Yeah. Yeah, it's definitely, like, that's definitely like a significant jump up in the quality of animation.
Yeah, like, at this point, it knows what it wants to be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it wholeheartedly embraces it. While the first episode had basically no Perfect Dark in it.
No.
This one is just Kirby going through a Perfect Dark level from the Perfect Dark game and completing the objectives in that level, but with added ridiculous jokes.
And violence.
And, the violence was already there in the original game, but not this kind of violence.
Not that level. No.
Yeah, well, I mean, should we start with the violence? Like,
I mean, yeah.
They've improved
yeah,
in terms of rendering it.
Definitely. The one thing that strikes me about the violence in this and the first episode is how unsettling it is just to watch Kirby go on a silent killing spree.
Yes.
It's very... It's unintentional, I think, but it's like quite unsettling just to watch Kirby silently murder like hundreds of people.
Yeah, because there still isn't that much background music.
No.
And there are, again, just extended sections of Kirby just murdering people, like really, really horribly.
Yeah.
This is also the second episode in a row where Kirby jumps up and snaps a guy's neck.
Yeah.
Meaning this is the third time we've witnessed a beloved video game character jump up and snap a guy's neck.
Oh.
I mean, we should keep a tally or something.
That's, keep a score at home. That's 3.
That's 3. 1 Mario, 1 Luigi.
2 for Kirby.
And 2 Kirbys. Yeah, and the one that seemed to affect you the most was Kirby, shoving a grenade into a guard's mouth and then hurling him at a turret?
My immediate thought, which I didn't voice because I was too,
engrossed.
Yeah, was, does a grenade travel further if it's attached to a person?
I mean, I only did physics to A-level, but no.
No, probably not. No.
Yeah, it's interesting, actually, how... While the first one did its best to pack in as many jokes as it could.
Yeah.
And there wasn't any breathing room around the jokes, except for just, dead air, because of pacing issues, right?
Yeah.
In this one, the comedy and everything just sort of pauses while Kirby gets on with the business of doing the game stuff.
Yeah.
Either it speaks to some discipline on behalf of the guys behind it, or... they just really wanted to make it a faithful recreation of this level.
I think it's likely just wanting to, make as close a recreation of that level as they could.
Yeah.
Probably.
I think that's fair. If you want to start with, hey, Kirby going through an actual Perfect Dark level.
Yeah.
Then, you can tell that these guys have played the level enough to remember the individual moments from it.
Yeah. The memory of Perfect Dark that sticks out to me most is that the guys in the first level all have Irish accents.
Yes,
and
a bit.
It's hilarious. It really took. But no, I'm sort of familiar with that level, the level where you rescue Elvis, right?
That's yes, the one. Elvis is the alien. Yeah.
Yes.
Although in this one he's not called Elvis.
No, he's called something which I actually didn't catch what he said.
No,
call me.
And
I was like, what?
Call me, and then he just kind of leans even closer to the mic. He's like, call me. And there's a pose, and that's definitely a joke, but I didn't catch what word that was.
No, me either. I don't know what it was.
I don't know. Bono. So I was actually taking notes during that episode because there are a few things I definitely wanted to bring up.
Right, okay.
So the first thing is that all of the background images, apart from one, all of the background images, in terms of pictures on the walls, framed photos, are just of stick men.
Yeah.
Stick men playing golf, stick men, being attacked by a tidal wave.
Yeah.
Etc. Mm-hmm. And I like that they went through the effort to add a little flavor to the backgrounds.
Mm.
But also I like that they didn't put enough effort in to do more than just stick people.
Well, it's obviously a nod to all the stick figure stuff.
Again, 2002 is, peak stick man, I think.
Yeah.
But the one image that isn't stick man that I found in the background is when Neil is hung up on by Kirby.
Oh, God,
In the background, that is a picture of Kirby being hugged by Kerrigan. Kerrigan being Legendary Frog's interpretation of the character from StarCraft.
Oh, okay, I was actually going to ask
about that.
Remember
the green skin and the red hair?
Yeah, I was going to ask about that. I was like, what is that? Why is that?
Yeah.
How has that been so lovingly rendered in the background?
Because that was actually made by Joseph Blanchett, aka Legendary Frog, who does have a couple of voices in this episode. Yeah, and this is around the time that they would have been, they would have been existing in the same spaces, they would have been talking in the same forums.
Mm-hmm,
It just makes sense that a lot of these people collaborated, even in little ways.
Yeah.
The next snap, got the next snap.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, the rocket launcher. You really enjoyed the slow motion jump and rocket launcher.
Some of it was the fact that there was this music that just kept cutting in and out, and I was like, what?
Oh yeah, that I believe was Club to Death by Rob Dugan.
Yeah, and then it's just the image of Kirby with a rocket launcher.
You still can't get over.
Just gets me.
Yeah, and the guy's face as the rocket hurtles toward him.
That was the thing, because he just had... They'd somehow perfectly managed to capture the look of someone who knows they're going to get hit by a rocket.
Who knows they're about to blow up. Yeah.
It was perfect.
Yeah. Oh, and also, I almost forgotten. I forgot to write this down because I thought I'd remember, and I did. Right, one of the first people that Kirby murderizes is... This guy who keeps getting shot, and he keeps pulling out secret pistols that are stashed, strapped to his leg or in his waistband or something.
And then he's shot again.
And Kirby just keeps shooting them out of his hands.
And he's trying so hard.
he's doing his best.
He's out of all of them, he's the one that makes the most effort.
Yeah, and he gets the most gunishment for it.
Yeah.
It was very...
It was a good joke that landed.
Yeah. I think that's why I was satisfied, because I was like, yeah, okay, that works. I like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, and like the timing was great for that.
It was,
like,
yeah.
Like, their timing in terms of slapstick and stuff is actually pretty good.
Mm.
It's only when it comes to the actual dialogue that they still don't have the right cadences down, I think.
Yeah, but yeah, the comedic timing is definitely improved.
Yeah, definitely improved. Two things which I know we both loved. First of all, we get the comedy fat guy. We get the comedy fat guy, who's basically me if I didn't comb my hair, and also was like 450 pounds and 2D.
Yeah,
but. But like, he's so fat he can't even reach his gun. He drops his gun, and then he falls over, and like everything goes
room boom. Shakes. Yeah, as he fell down because he's fat.
Yeah, so that was fun.
2002.
Hey, that stuff is still mainstream comedy.
Yes, it is, and it's not cool.
No, it's not. But I had to bring it up.
Yeah.
And also, we discover that Mario, who still flies the R-Wing, is a big fan of the Beastie Boys.
And it's perfect.
It is very good. I also like the first... See, like, in hindsight, I didn't know this at the time, because I didn't properly get into music until, like, my mid-teens, right?
Right.
Even comedy music. So I didn't recognize that the first piece of music that Mario puts on is the worst song by Weird Al Yankovic, which is his contractually obligated parody of Girls Just Want to Have Fun that he didn't want to do, and so he did it in the most obnoxious voice possible.
That's why I didn't really recognize that it was Weird Al, because
and it's rendered as Girls Just Want to Have Lunch.
I mean, I enjoy that.
Yeah,
that's the kind of thing that would become like an intrusive thought in my head for
what
sure.
That you just want to have lunch.
No, that the I mean,
or the girls in general just want
to
have lunch.
No, just the tune of Girls Just Want to Have Fun to with the lyrics Girls Just Want to Have Lunch.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's fair.
That's the kind of thing that I would have to tweet so I could stop thinking about it. Yeah.
And so one of the first things that you noticed watching this was how much everything has improved animation-wise.
Immediately I was like, wow, that's so, like, that looks so much better.
So much better!
I mean, there's some of it which still is like, oh, that looks a bit wrong.
Yeah, but like, some of the 3D effects still don't really work.
Yeah.
Like, some of the character models where they've got individual chunks for different parts of their limbs still look a bit awkward.
Yeah.
But, compared to the first one, there's, like, an enormous leap over maybe 6 months. And it's really nice to see, honestly.
Yeah.
So, shall we get into the comments for Perfect Kirby Episode 2?
I'm hoping to see them a bit more positive.
Yeah, perhaps. Well, let's find out. They were definitely more positive.
I'm glad.
I didn't have to weed out a lot. Most of the stuff I weeded out was just people saying, yeah, this is great, I love
okay,
it, I need
cool.
more.
That's good. I'm glad.
So by this point, like, this is established as a Newgrounds thing. You know, like Perfect Kirby is mentioned on Newgrounds' official history of itself.
Good.
So, one of the most recent comments is by Dr. Strongbad, who said this in 2017.
Jesus Christ.
So just a year ago, and they said, Perfect Kirby 2 is a good parody of Kirby. Nintendo knows how to make the best characters. Great animation and funny to watch.
Nintendo does know how to make the best
does know how to make
all
the best
right,
characters.
Dr. Strongbad. Thank you.
I'm glad that Dr. Strongbad has got a good head on his shoulders.
Yes.
Yeah. Do you want to take the next one?
Okay, so Mario 77877 in 2014. Goodness gracious. I think I'm about to pass out. What? It was 2014!
Yeah?
You blew my mind, Picanjo. You blew my damn mind.
Small interjection. Picanjo is the name that John and Richie used.
Yeah, okay. Yes. Screw the people that say this sucks. This is one of the best animations ever. You've impressed many people today, and I think you should be amazed. The fact that you've blown everybody's minds is amazing, and I think you are one of my most favorite users of all. You're awesome, dude. Appreciate it. This is just, I'm running out of words to describe it. This is the greatest animation yet that I've seen. This animation is epic. Wow. He really liked it.
And that's in 2014.
2014. Wow. I mean, there are a lot of animations out there which are maybe a little bit better than Perfect Kirby 2.
Yeah.
Maybe he wasn't very old.
Maybe. Although I kind of hope that Mario 77877 is like a proper cinephile. And like,
yeah, he's seen like all the Pixar.
Yeah, like got home from seeing Toy Story 3.
Yeah.
Sit down. What's this Perfect Kirby I've heard? Oh my goodness. In terms of original reviews, way back when it was uploaded in October of 2002, Killer D-Hawk, or Killer D-Hawk, said, "Pretty funny, nice animating, loved it when Kirby ate the guys."
That was several times. Oh, that's something we didn't talk about. They finally got around to using some Kirby sound effects.
Yeah, Kirby sound effects and actual Kirby powers more than once.
Yeah.
Yeah,
he
even did some double jumps in the air.
He did.
Which he didn't do at all in the first episode, which is weird because...
used a parachute, despite the fact Kirby does not need a parachute, because we all know
he weighs nothing,
as much as he wants.
Yes, that's true. Tool-of-the-System.
That's such a 2000s name.
In 2002.
Oh, that's so good.
I know, right? Oh. Tool of the System.
That warms my heart. I love that.
Do you think they like Tool? In 2002, liking
probably.
Tool was pretty mainstream, you know.
Yeah,
Lateralis was just a year before they were.
Yeah.
They said, "Just like an actual video game."
Yeah.
"This is so cool. Amazing 3D graphics and lots of violence. Funny when John gets shot in the end. Make more and more. Possible a Kirby game even? I'll even buy a t-shirt."
Wait, what? Does he not know? He's nobody told all of the system. Just like an actual game. It's like you've designed games.
Okay, but there is, or at least in 2002 when this was written, there was no game where Kirby could have a gun.
No, but we're Smash Brothers.
You know what? You're
we're
right.
Smash Brothers.
You're right.
Oh, what does he mean? A perfect Kirby game?
I assume that's probably
probably what he meant.
Yeah, and this guy was not alone in wanting a perfect Kirby game.
Okay.
Especially as the series progressed, the amount of people that were clamoring for it.
I mean, it's a crossover of two games which got popular, so...
Exactly, yeah.
To be expected, I suppose.
Yeah, but I also highlighted this one because Tool of the System got a response from either John or Richie.
Mm-hmm.
Pikanjo, which, like we mentioned, is the brother's account.
Yeah.
They responded to an awful lot of the reviews, like saying thank you or saying this is good feedback. And so they responded, "All the animation was done in Flash. No outside programs used for graphics at all whatsoever. And as for the t-shirt, we might just make some ...
Did they?
I don't remember.
I bet they did.
I hope so.
Because if it's got big, then I imagine they probably had like merchandise.
Yeah, but then again, like, this is a pre-Teespring world. This is a pre-Redbubble world.
Yeah.
You know, back in 2002, your best bet was like Cafe Press. Are you ready to take the final plunge into the epic third installment?
You know what? I think I am.
Let's do it. Stop the podcast. It's getting too long.
It really did.
It's really long. This podcast ran an enormous amount of time, and so, for ease of listening and for your convenience, we have chopped it up into two halves.
You are welcome.
So we will be posting the second half next week, where we continue with Perfect Kirby Episode 3 and our postbox.
See you then.
See you then.